I'd like to welcome you all here, but it seems like something has gone wrong. One of my slides was supposed to be the numbers 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and one of the things I wanted us to think about this morning is that every year, every day is different, and our today is no different. It's the last day of the year. So 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, that series of numbers, if you put a slash between the 12 and between the 1, the 3 and the 1, and between the 3 and the 1 and the 2 and the 3, it represents this day. And it hit me when this things were going through this, is that every day is unique. And then our life today is unique in the sense that this is one of the scriptures that we talk about. And what we have here is there was supposed to be a number of slides that related to the renewed minds. When we look at what Romans taught, and Paul said, look, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one of the things that when you think about what we have to do with our minds and what God is asking for us to do is to be able to do something totally different. It's not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed from this world into a spiritual world that we need to be thinking about every single day. You'll notice this in one of the things that I had some comments about the mind and what it is. And the mind is really, it's a marvelous thing that God created for us. And the thing is that what we put into our mind and what we put into our hearts is what's going to come out of our hearts. And it's very difficult. God asks us to do some very difficult things, but that's what he expects from us. And I think one of the scriptures that I had that was going to be on there was that he says, look, you be holy because I am holy. And sometimes people use that and they'll say, well, look, I'm not perfect. I sin. And so sometimes they use that as a crutch, saying that I'm not perfect. And sometimes people in the world will use that. I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. And then they use that phrase to be able to look at their life and then say that they can do whatever they want. I'm not perfect. I'm forgiven. But that's not what God wants us to be. He says, you be holy because I am holy, or for I am holy. And if we didn't have the ability to do that, God wouldn't ask us to do that. And so there are things in our life that we need to do. And when you look at this whole, I had a whole series of scriptures that followed after these things, and we talked about a renewed mind. And one of them was, and this was the last one I had, is a renewed mind will learn not to make its opinion gospel. And what I mean by that is that sometimes people think and have an opinion about something, and they're going to force it on you or put it on you when it's just their opinion. It's not based, it may be based on what they, on how they read something, but it's not. And so there are certain things that God tells us to do, that a renewed mind will pray without ceasing, or will not cease to stop, or will not cease praying. And so you'll look at that. And a renewed mind will love its enemies. That's not something that's natural for us. You know, and a renewed mind will do things that God wants us to do, but we can't do it. And this is just one of the things that when you think about all God's instructions to us, what he wants us to do, it's very challenging for us to forgive others. Remember when you look at what Peter says, well, how many times do I need to forgive? And if you remember what Jesus said, look, you forgive every time he comes and a brother repents and asks you to forgive, you need to forgive them. And then, well, how many times? Well, 7 times 7. Or 7 times 70. It was like one of these numbers that just seemed to go and just really kind of just blows our mind. But then they ask him this question, increase our faith. And I think that sometimes when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we ask God to increase our faith, to help us get through these things, and to be able to look at things that we need to do and improve our lives with. And so when you try to look at the things that God wants us to do good, to esteem others better than ourselves. And sometimes that's hard for us to do, is that sometimes we have, it's the perspective that we have in life, you know, is it an inward perspective or is it an outward perspective? Is it our life, you know, and what we put on our mind and what, how God's word impacts us is going to dictate what we do. And we as Christians ought to be outward looking, not inward looking. And sometimes we find ourselves that, you know, we, whatever the situation may be, it may be how we grew up, it may be how we were taught, it may be that we grew up with things that we didn't have, that we now we have. And it may be sometimes that people say, and I don't want to use this example because it was asked me this morning, but sometimes we might say, look, I missed you. I'm glad you're here and this and that. But sometimes if we're not careful, they may sound like, well, did you miss me? Did you get this, you know, for me? Yeah, and so there are things that we need to be careful of. Are we thankful? You know, when you look at a renewed mind, we'll learn to be thankful. We need to be a thankful people. We need to be a rejoicing people. Rejoice always. That's kind of a hard thing for us to do at times. And we find ourselves in certain situations is to be able to rejoice always. And so when you look at the things and the number of the scriptures I had up, I just wish I didn't mess up because I was the one that created this slide. But there are things that we're told to do on a daily basis that are just very difficult to do. And like I said, we need to have an outward perspective. We need to learn to esteem others better than ourselves. We need to learn how to forgive. You know, just as Christ forgave us. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, we're taught to be a giving people, you know, and a forgiving people. And so we need to think about these things. So going back to this, is one of the things that we talk about the mind is, like I said, it's what goes in the mind. That what goes in is not what goes in that defiles the mind, a man. It's what comes out that defiles the man. And so our minds are marvelous things. We create memories as a result of that. You know, we learn from our minds by sense of smell and taste and touch. Songs that we hear, words that we hear, quotes that we have, they all have an impact. Things that we experience in life, they all affect our mind, and they all are going to affect us and how we react to certain situations. And you may react to something totally different than I, and one of the things I may look at and go like, why are you reacting like that? You don't have enough faith. But there may be a situation that I find myself in that all of a sudden you may look at me and you're going like, Rob, why are you reacting like that? You know, you need to have more faith. So we all react to things differently, but God wants us to reset our mind, to renew our mind, and he wants it to be like that. And when you go back and look at what Paul said to the Romans, and he says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. And so we find that God's word to Paul is saying, look, it depends on how you set your mind. Are you carnally minded? Or are we spiritually minded? And the one thing that I wish that we need to all get in our heads is that we cannot be carnally minded. He goes on to say, he says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so there's a contrast that when we find ourselves, what kind of mind do we have? He continues, he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. A person that's carnally minded is not subject to the law of God. It's not if the law of God is going to judge that person in the end. But he says, it's not subject, nor can it be. It doesn't want to be. If you're in my minds are carnally minded, it's not going to be subject to God's word. We're not going to listen to it. James going on, he wrote, he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So here we find another mindset that we have to really be careful of in our lives is that we need to be doers of the word. We need to be active people and not just hearers only. He says, deceiving yourselves, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And we all have mirrors in our house, right? And so sometimes when you get up in the morning, you go in and brush your teeth or you get ready, you're looking in that mirror. But how many times after you leave that mirror, all of a sudden you have to find another mirror because you got to make sure that your clothing is on right, your hair is done right, or whatever. It's like we don't remember what we look like. But he's saying, look, you be doers of the word. Now, sometimes we can ask, if we're having issues, we can say, God, help me through this. You know, and so you may do good, and you may be able to overcome those temptations for an hour, a day, a week. But sometimes you're going to fall right back in the trap because you're going to forget the person that you are. What's interesting is James, as he goes on to this, he says, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man that he was. So for those who hear and are not doers, James says, look, he immediately forgets. It's not that he remembers and then a couple hours later or the day later, you know, he has to recheck. But he says that those who are hearers and not doers, that man will go ahead and will immediately forget what he's supposed to do. So I want you to think about a couple things with me this morning. I want to have some examples here that I want us to look at and want us to ponder, to think about, and to concentrate on. And the first one I want to think about is that Mary and Martha, they're sisters in the flesh. And later I'm sure that they're sisters in Christ. But they're sisters in the flesh. And I want to see if you fall into one of these situations with Mary and Martha. In Luke 10, Jesus is there amongst this group of people. And we find in verse 40 beginning, he says, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me. She'll listen to you, right? Martha was distracted. And we can be like Martha. We can be distracted about the things that go around about us. We can sometimes just kind of forget the spiritual side of things and start focusing on the physical side of things. And that's what Martha's situation was. Martha was distracted. Do you not care? Tell her to help me. But Jesus' response was pretty interesting to her. When Jesus answered and he said, Martha, Martha, look, you are worried and troubled about many things. You've let all this stuff around you hold you back. That's where your attention is. You're on the here and the now. You're on the cleaning up and preparing foods and things like that. And we can find ourselves in that situation in a lot of different ways. But he says, but one thing is needed. Martha, one thing's needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Sisters in the flesh, same parents. But one mind is different than another. One's focused on the here and now, the physical things. The sister was focused on the spiritual things. And Jesus said, she's chosen that good part. And so we need to look at ourselves as, what part have we chosen? Have we chosen the things, or we've been distracted by the things that are around us? Or have we chosen that good part that's going to help us get through life? And think about Euodia and Syntyche, sisters in the faith. Two people, not sisters physically as far as we know, but sisters in the faith. Paul writing to the Philippians, he says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And then he goes on, he says, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. I want you to look at something. One of the things that what we're not told here is when he says, I implore them, Euodians and Tychicus, to be of the same mind. It's interesting to me is that Paul doesn't say what the issue is. So we don't know what that is. Other than the fact is that they're not of the same mind. The other thing that's interesting here is that Paul doesn't side with one or the other. He just says, look, these sisters have a problem. They're not of the same mind. And sometimes when I think about it, and I've been, and you probably know people, there may be a brother or sister sits over here in this row, and a brother and sister sits in this row, and they won't talk to each other. But yet they profess to be Christians. And so when you look at it, there's a problem. And I think sometimes the issue could have been so deep is that it could have affected their eternal destiny. Because he says, look, I implore you, be of the same mind. So whatever differences they had, whatever they had, problems they had with each other, he said, look, you need to get it straight. And you need to, brother, you need to help these women who labored with me. And then let's think about Peter and John. And so this was used in a sermon recently, but they're brothers in Christ. They're disciples of Jesus. They're with Jesus. And it's interesting, we always kind of want to pick at Peter, but Peter's really kind of a reflection of us. There's things that we look at and he goes, well, why do you do that? And why do that? But we can react the same exact way. In John, the 20th chapter, he says, then Peter turned around and he said he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which was John. John never refers to himself in any of this in this gospel. But he says, who also, but Peter identifies him, who also leaned on his breast at the supper. And then Peter says, Lord, who's the one who betrays you? Peter always wanted to jump ahead. He wanted to jump ahead of Christ. He wanted to know, seemed to know everything. But then he says, then Peter seeing him or seeing John, he said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And then Jesus answering, he says, look, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And if we're not careful, our mindset may be that we're always looking at somebody else and go, like, what about them? What about her? What about him? It's an outward perspective. It's not inward. And that's what Peter's problem was. And we even go back, when you go back and look at what he says, that, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? He wants to know. He wants to look out on what's around him. But Jesus says, look, that's not important. It's up to me. And what is it to you? You follow me. You need to change your mindset, Peter. And we know that later on when he was crucified, remember when Jesus came back and he goes, do you love me? And we talked about before, Jesus was using the word agape. Do you love me like God? And Peter's response was, you know I love you, but I love you as a brother. Feed my sheep. And then he said it again, do you love me? Jesus said, you know I love you. And eventually, the third time, Jesus said, do you love me like a brother? And Peter said, you know I love you. Peter's mindset had not been changed yet. He was still looking at things from an earthly perspective, from a carnal perspective, and that's, if we're not careful, we can follow the same thing. And our Jesus' words to him, as to us, is that you follow me. When you think about what this past couple of years, 2 years ago, 2022, our theme was a mind to work. And so every first Sunday of every month, Josh took various things and he used the people had a mind to work. So we need to be doers, right? And then this year, 2023, our theme was imitate Christ. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You follow me. You imitate me. You put me first. Don't worry about those other things. You got enough to worry about what's on your own plate. And then next year, 2024, beginning tomorrow, we'll start a new series. For this year, the theme will be the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us. And so when you think about that so much, is that preparation for that race? We're going to have to really reset our minds, to change our mindset and how we do things. And he'll take you the first Sunday of every month like he did the last 2 years and go through this process of touching on things about the race that is set before us. And we're not going to talk about these, but I want you to think in your mind, because when these names pop up, you'll understand, you'll know. Here's two different people's mindsets. The Pharisee and the tax collector. Remember what the Pharisee was preaching? I'm glad that I'm not like him. I do this and I do this. And I don't. But what was the tax collector's response? Lord, be merciful on me, a sinner. One was internally focused, the tax collector. The Pharisee was outward focused. I'm not like him. I'm not like her. I'm not like him. What about the rich man and Lazarus? What was the rich man's life and what was it focused on? The things that he had in this world impacted how he treated other people, how he treated Lazarus. But guess what? We're all going to the same place in the sense of death. But Lazarus was found in Abraham's bosom. But the rich man was in torment. And the prodigal son and his brother, the prodigal son, hey, give me what's mine. And he took off. He had a different mindset at this early stage in his life. And for me, one of the things I think about, it's really interesting that the father didn't chase after him, even after he was long gone. He didn't look for him. He didn't send the servants out for him. But the son had to realize where he was. His mind had to change. He was the one that changed it. I'll go home, and I'll be a servant. I'll be a hand servant, like my father's house. And then when he came, his father rejoiced, and the fatted lamb was prepared for him, and everybody was happy. And you remember how the brother reacted? What is this? You never did this for me. You never did. His brother had a totally different mindset. And that's the thing that we need to think about. And then the priest, a Levite, and a good Samaritan. Think about those and their mindsets and how they viewed people and what they did. And here are this priest and the Levite, religious leaders of the Jewish nation, and how they treated somebody that was lying dead on the side of the road. But here comes a good Samaritan, one who was looked down on the Jews, a Samaritan, and yet look at what he did, what his mindset was. So these, they made choices that affected their eternal destiny. At least from what we see, we don't know whether some changed later on or not, but we make choices. You and I are free to choose. Every day we get up and we make different choices of what we're going to do, what we're going to see, who we're going to hang around with, what are we going to say, what are we going to laugh at. But we are not free from the consequences of our choices. We're all going to be held accountable. Luke 14, verses 27, he says, Jesus said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Our mindset is really going to have to be, there's a cross for us to bear. If we're going to imitate Christ, there is a cross for us to bear. And we have to bear it. Jesus said, if you can't bear it, you're not going to be my disciple. And then he says, likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all, not just some things, not just these things, he says, does not forsake all that he has, he can't be my disciple. Jesus has to be first in your life and has to be first in my life. That mindset is different than the world's, but it needs to be changed. We need to have that mindset. So John, in John 14, as he's writing this, and John is the only gospel that tells this story, the words of Jesus. He says, look, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He was given, these are words of comfort. They're words of comfort for his disciples. They're words of comfort for us. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry about all this stuff. Do what I tell you. You follow me, because I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And then he continues on. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm not leaving. I'm not just telling you this, but if I go away, I'm coming back. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and get you. And the reason being is where I am, there you will be. You'll be with me. So I want you to consider this. Is that when we look at our lives and the things that we do, the things, how we react, the when we tell somebody that we forgive them, or that my earlier example, that a brother or sister that sits over there in that road and won't talk to somebody that sits over this road, you can't even get them together. And it really hit me, that made me think about this, is that Jesus said, look, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. There's many mansions and many places and many rooms for you. And when you think about the story and the what heaven's like, and it just kind of hit me one time, is that when you look at Revelation, there is a street of gold. I can't picture it totally in my mind, but based on what Jesus said, look, there's many rooms. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, wait a minute, this brother sitting over here, and this sister over here, or this sister here, and this sister here, when Jesus said he's going to go prepare a place for you, or prepare a place for me, is he going to set up a room, and this is in my mind, so you can take it for what it's worth, but is he going to put you in a room over here on this side of the golden street, the street of gold, and then he's going to put the person that you won't even talk to in this world on this side of the street of gold, two rooms far apart, that you don't even have to see each other. You don't even have to talk to each other. Do we really think that that's what God is going to do? He's going to give you a room and me a room, but because you don't want to be with me, you don't want to have anything to do. Is that what we really think? Because that's how it's going to be in heaven? I don't think so. We're going to be with people that want to be together. We're the children of God. We need to be together. We want to be together. But that's what I want you to consider this morning. When you think about your mind and everything that we're told to do, we need to make sure that we're connected, that we can talk to each other, that we will be with each other. Sometimes there may be a lack of trust, but it doesn't mean that we can't. Because I picture this in heaven, like I said. I don't think he's preparing a room for you and for me so we don't have to cross paths with each other. I don't think that's going to be the case. So the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4, beginning verse 12, when he says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You may not know what I'm thinking. You not, may not know if I even really care for you. I might have an outward appearance that I do, but God's word does. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and we need to reset our mind according to what God's word is. And he goes on and says that there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I may not have to give account to you here, but I will have to give an account to God. There's no creature that is hidden, and that we need to know that we must all give an account, that we will all be held accountable. So my thought, and I appreciate you bearing with me, I double-checked and triple-checked and reread everything. Sometimes things just happen, right? But my reminding thought is just to renew your mind. For me, to renew my mind, to put it in connection with, in congruent with what God's word wants it to be. And I'll close with this, as we talked about this earlier. In 1 Peter, Peter said, look, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. You be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If God didn't think that we could do it, he doesn't expect that we could do it, he wouldn't have said it. There are things that we need to work on. And the only way that we're going to be able to achieve these goals is to ask for God's work, help, for wisdom, to be able to understand, wisdom to be able to get through the trials that we may be facing, and to seek to be holy as our Father in heaven is holy. So that's the sermon this morning. Renew your mind. If we can be assistance to you this morning in any way, shape, or form, if you need to confess sins and you've fallen away and you need to come back and your sins are public in a public nature, then you need to make public confession of those. If you want to talk about help and being able to renew your mind and being baptized into Christ and the things that you need to do just to start your journey, you know, we'll be happy to do that, you know, because it just doesn't end there. We're called to be faithful until death, which is going to take a lot of renewing of the mind every single day. So if we can be of any assistance to you this morning, would you come as we stand and sing?